Good morning, church family. It is good to be here this morning with you all. And we are continuing today our sermon series, The Seven Words from the Cross today. And so today we're looking at the third word from the cross, which is affection today. So I want to thank you all this morning for your support and joining us here in worship here today. And I want to speak to you about affection, and I want to speak to you about love. And before we get into the text this morning, I hope that you had a good Valentine's Day. I know many of you are able to celebrate Valentine's Day, and there's just a couple of interesting things I want to just briefly touch on that and show how what we are experiencing in our world today about Valentine's Day and kind of what the world tells us about love and tells us about affection. How do you show love today? You know, a lot of people last Sunday or last week or the week before showed love on Valentine's Day. They allowed a holiday to tell them when to celebrate to show love. And while there's nothing wrong with showing love on a marked day, sometimes we get caught up in it. So how much was spent this past Valentine's Day? Well, the national researchers from the Tribune Media Wire online publication reported that nearly $20 billion, with a B, in just America was spent on Valentine's Day. The same report collected data says from their title of their report says, "How do I love thee? Let me count the dollars." Valentine's Day is the fourth largest consumer spending day of the year. Over 54% of Americans celebrate Valentine's Day, and of those who celebrate it, the average person that celebrates it spends $147 each. The average man will spend, I'm glad I'm not average, $197. The average woman will spend $100. And interestingly enough, 53% of the women that celebrated it said that they would end their relationship if they didn't receive anything for Valentine's Day. 50% of the consumers give candy, 47% will give greeting cards, 36% of consumers will give flour, and 14% of women will actually send flowers to themselves. 38% of the consumers of those who participate in it will take their partner out for an evening, 19% will give jewelry, 17% will give clothing, 15% of consumers will give gift certificates. Now, I know what many of you are thinking this morning. You didn't come in here to hear about Valentine's Day. And believe me, I know that. But I wanted it to be an illustration for you to understand, to talk about affection this morning. But more importantly, what God says about affection and what He says from the cross. If you have a copy of God's Word this morning, I invite you to turn to the Gospel of John, Chapter 19. We're going to hear what God has to say about affection this morning. John chapter 19, verse 25 through 27, and I'm reading from the English Standard Version text. "But standing by the cross of Jesus were his mother and his mother's sister, Mary the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, 'Woman, behold your son.' Then he said to the disciple, 'Behold your mother.' And from that hour, the disciple took her to his own home." Will you join me in prayer? Father, we thank you for the love that comes to us for all eternity from the cross. We thank you for the great love you have given us in Jesus. Father, many people have come in here today to worship you. But Father, many of us desire affection and comfort. And we feel sometimes, Lord, that when something is taken from us, that we just need you. So, Father, this morning as we Open up your word, Father. Anoint my lips, Father. Let your message flow through me. Let it be your message, Lord. Speak to us, Father, in our hearts in this time. Hearts that are grieving. Hearts that are suffering. Those that are seeking hope, Father, continue to speak to us this morning from your word. That we might receive, Father, your affection, but in return worship you as we turn to you. And I pray all these things in the strong name of Jesus. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. So one thing I want us to look at this morning is we're talking about the seven words from the cross. Now, Jesus didn't stop after these seven words. The tomb is empty, amen? Amen. So he didn't finish there, but his last seven messages, his last seven words on the cross before he experienced death, before his resurrection. Last few weeks, I want to thank Philip Hurst here and for bringing the message. And the first two messages were forgiveness and salvation. So this morning, we want to look at the message of affection that Christ brings to us all the way from the cross. So this morning we're going to talk about affection, but I want you to understand something. Listen, you will never receive the affection or comfort you desire in any place other than Jesus Christ. And I'll say that again, and if you want to write that down, you've got a place on the back of your bulletin. You will never receive the affection or comfort you desire in any place other than Jesus Christ. What we have here is a picture here of the cross, and Jesus is at the cross, and he is joined by these four women: Mary, Mary's sister, or Salome, Mary the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. And it's awful lonely sometimes when you're suffering. Sometimes you're suffering alone and no one is hearing from you. There's not many people surrounding Jesus except these four women. And it later speaks about the disciple here whom he loved. And we read in John 7 when at the Last Supper, whom Jesus laid his head against Jesus, the apostle John. And later we read in the book of the gospel here of John, whom Jesus loved. So it's these four women. The disciples have scattered. Jesus has been persecuted. He's been tried for something that he didn't commit. He has been beaten, scourged, taken all the way to the cross and crucified. And everyone has scattered and left him. All those disciples that traveled him with 3 years, gone. He's all alone except these four women. And thank goodness John joined him, because I want to tell you something. I'd feel awful bad if none of the men showed up. But finally John showed up. John showed up here, but it's awful lonely at the cross. And in times when we seek affection and comfort, we need to know that rather than scatter, we need to stand close to God. So the first thing I want us to look at today is that Christ gives affection when we stand close to him. When we stand close to him, we receive affection. The other disciples that were weeping, that were scared, these four women and John came to the cross. They came close to Jesus. They wept. And they received something from Jesus that they probably were not expecting. They were just grieving. But in our time of grief, in our time of suffering, we need to stand close. James 4:8 says, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. These women and John came close. But one thing that we need to understand is that we need to, first of all, stand close to God in prayer. Romans 12:2 says, rejoice in hope, be patient in tribulation, be constant in prayer. In the things in your life today where you're suffering from and you're seeking affection and comfort, come closer to Christ, stand close to him in prayer. You'll fight all your battles. You'll win all the battles in prayer. That's where you'll find your answers. Constantly in prayer. The second thing here in standing close to Christ is that we need to continue to read God's Word. For His Word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Psalm 119, 105. And we need to also understand that by standing close to Christ, we receive the affection that we desire. You see, He has this message here from the cross, and it is all funneling down from outside to closer in. It's slowly moving in. The first thing He said from the cross, He said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." He is speaking to the crowd. He's speaking to the people that were jeering Him, the people that were mocking Him, the people that were crucifying Him. He laid out a blanket forgiveness to everyone and said, "For everyone, Father, forgive them." When the two men stood on each side of Him that were both being crucified and the thief on His side, He said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your paradise." He granted salvation unto him. And so slowly the affection and the love that Jesus has for all of us moves closer and closer and closer. Because that's what we're speaking about today. We're speaking about a personal relationship with Christ. His love is offered to the world, but He offers it to each of us individually. He just wants us to respond. And so He moves from the outside and closer to the inside, from the crowd to the thief on the cross, to now that those that were close to Him. We need to stand close to Him. Christ loved those in His death. Jesus brought comfort when He gave a son to His mother Mary and a friend. Also to Mary and John. How can you love others when you're not being loved? Do you experience that today? Or you feel like you're trying to pour yourself out to somebody and you're just not getting it back? You know, we live in a very individualistic society. We live here in this Western civilization here in the United States of America. We have a very individualistic. We celebrate the individual. We live in a society that says you can do it, and it becomes all about us. The youth experience it now in a younger generation, and I'm not blaming them, but they experience it, you know, through the power of the internet and social media. And selfies, you know, people are taking more pictures of themselves and they're taking more pictures of everything outside of them. But this is nothing different. We live in a highly individualistic society and a culture here today that celebrates us. And when we don't get that love, it's tough. The second thing I want us to look at today is that Christ's gift of affection has a plan. Write that down. Christ's gift of affection has a plan. You know, one of the things that someone told me a long time ago is that the true function of a preacher is to disturb the comfortable and to comfort the disturbed. It's not something that I get to relish in, it's just something that I get to experience. But one of the things that I do get to share is the great love that Jesus has for all of us, because He has a plan through His atoning work. When these four women and John come to Jesus at the cross and they stand there, I'm going to just get back into the text here for a moment. They were grieving. Verse 26 says, "When Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, 'Woman.'" Now, they're grieving, and Christ is on the cross suffering, and Christ has come to this final hour, and he's about to perish an earthly life. And he addresses his mother, and he doesn't say, "Mary." He doesn't say, "Mom," "Mother." He says, "Woman." It sounds kind of harsh, doesn't it? He probably spoke to her in Aramaic, Hebrew, but the Greek word for that is gune, which is a title of respect, or madam. He is coming to Mary now, not as son, as little boy Jesus. He's coming to her as his Savior. And he wants her to know that. In fact, he addressed her the same way in the wedding feast of Cana in John chapter 2. And they're having this wedding feast, and Mary comes to Jesus and she says, "They're running out of wine. You need to do something here." And he says, "Woman, what business is that of mine? This is not my hour." He wants Mary to recognize that you need a Savior just as much as everyone else. Mary, you gave birth to the Son of God. But even you, Mary, need a Savior. And so he addresses her as woman. And at that point where she is coming to him as his mother, you know, it must have been awful tough for Mary. You know, back in Luke chapter 2, I want to look at something here for just a moment this morning. When Jesus was a baby and he was presented at the temple, there was a man that came to them. Verse 25, Luke 2, 25. "Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him, and it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he could not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ." And I'm going to jump ahead here. And verse 33, "And his father and his mother marveled at what was said about him." He's a prophet. "And Simeon beheld them and said to Mary his mother, 'Behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that is opposed.' And he told Mary," verse 35, "'And a sword will pierce through your own soul.'" Mary's bringing Jesus for dedication. It's a glorious and joyous day. And this man, this stranger out of nowhere comes up and he just says, "Oh, I've waited all my life and now I can die in peace, Mary. And this man has been appointed to bring the good news to the world. But yet many people are going to reject him. And this is the day, Mary, when you're going to celebrate. But there's going to be a day when your soul is going to be pierced like a soul. It's like a sword. Probably was not the news that Mary was hoping to hear. But Mary had to carry that news with her all her life. And all those years when Mary had fled with Joseph to Egypt and came back, and the time when she laid the baby in the manger and everything that she suffered with them. And now Mary is at the cross. She's standing at the cross with Jesus. Knowing all this, she had to witness all this. Joseph, her husband, is gone. She's probably widowed. And in good Jewish culture, they knew that it was biblical to honor your father and your mother. So, Jesus is the oldest son. He's going to be the one to have to take care of Mary. But what's happening now to Jesus? He's not going to be there. So Mary has suffered all her life. She is a woman without economic means. And she is seeing her own son die a cruel and violent and tortuous death. She's having experienced all that. Where's her affection? Where's her life that she gave up to the Lord? Obediently and lovingly. And then Jesus says, "Woman," as if she hadn't gone through enough. And he says, "Woman, behold your son." And an instant right there from the cross where Christ was dying and suffering, he gave Mary to the disciple John. "Mary, you need me just as much. You need a Savior just as much." And so in an instant, she loses her son, but gains a son. Why is that important? And the text there says, he also spoke to John, the disciple whom he loved. And he said, behold, your mother. You know, when we experience issues in our life of pain and suffering, there are two words that are often used to describe how we experience it, or how people respond to us. One word is empathy, and another word is sympathy. Empathy connects. Sympathy disconnects. And I want to kind of give you an illustration of what that looks like. You know, when we're hurting, when we're suffering, when we've lost loved ones, when we're going through the pains and trials of life, people will respond to you. When we get down, and we get stuck in the mud, and we feel like we can't take it anymore, people will respond to you. And the last thing they want to hear, the last thing that empathy says, at least, I had a miscarriage. Well, at least you know that you can conceive children. My marriage is falling apart. Well, at least you have a spouse. My son is getting kicked out of school. Well, at least your daughter is a straight A student. And that's what sympathy says. Sympathy says, oh, okay, how about a cookie? That's what sympathy says. But empathy steps down and says, I've been where you've been. And I may not have been where you are right now. But I'm going to stand with you, and I'm going to love you and help you however I can. That's empathy. That's connection. And so now we come to the cross and we see a picture. Jesus is not telling Mary, how about a cookie? Jesus is giving her empathy. You know, when we experience some of these losses in our life, or whatever that might be, we desire affection. There's often nothing like the affection of a fellow believer, is there? Do you experience times when you might tell somebody what's going on in your life, and maybe it's a family member, but they're not a believer, they're not a Christian? But when you have a family member, maybe it's a church member or someone else who's a believer, you have this bond, you have this connection, because each of you had this hope, because you have what Jesus told Mary, you have a Savior. And that's what we need to recognize. That's what's important here, what Christ is trying to tell Mary. He is giving her a son. He is giving her affection. And she is allowing John a commission. John's not her son. Mary had other sons. It tells us in John chapter 7 that he had brothers, but they didn't believe him. Can you imagine what it must have been like for Mary? No husband, widowed. Eldest son, crucified. Other sons that don't believe in him. She is isolated beyond means, both relationally and in a family and economically. And so now it comes to this point here in her life. He gives her to somebody else that's not even her son. The ultimate affection that he gives here is his own love in giving her to this disciple. And from that hour, it says that the disciple, what did he do? He didn't just say, well, I'll, okay. He acted on it. It said at that time, right there, at that hour, the disciple took her to his own home. He made her his mother. He loved her with an affection that no one else could give her. He gave her the empathy. But ultimately, this empathy came only because of who they were in Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Ephesians 1:3. Therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him. That is the gift that Christ has given in affection. He has given Him. And He wants Mary to know that. She is seeing her earthly son, but He's saying, Mary, I want to give you something and to know something, that I am your Savior. I'm not just your son. I'm your Savior. You know, there have been, the Roman Catholic Church has tried to deify Mary and use part of this here saying, behold your mother, and has taken it completely out of context and completely out of the biblical meaning of who Mary is. And so, you know, some in that particular theology and faith will deify Mary here. But Mary needed a Savior just as much as everyone else. And so that's when he comes to her and he says, Mary, behold your son. And he turned to the disciple and he said, behold your mother. You see, Jesus related to Mary, and he related to John, and he related Mary and John to each other, because they both had a Savior in Christ. That is the affection that we see. That is the affection that comes from the cross still today. And the ministries that you are involved in, people see the light that is in you. That is the affection that they want. They don't want sympathy. We can get sympathy at Hallmark. Hallmark made a lot of money on Valentine's Day. Good for Hallmark. Good for them. I bought some Hallmark cards. They have good cards. Good for them. But ultimately, the love and the comfort that we desire is from the cross. It is from Christ. You see, because if Mary and Mary's sister and Mary the mother of Clopas and Mary Magdalene and John, if they leave without a Savior, they will never have affection. So when I tell you this morning, when I say you'll never receive the affection or comfort you desire in any place other than Jesus Christ, you know why. It only comes in Christ, and that's what He gave them. That's what Christ gave to Mary and the disciples. And from that moment on, they received the affection. Christ was resurrected, and his brothers believed in him then. And so affection came from the cross, and so affection still comes to each of us today. The difference is, we just need to seek Him. That's what a personal relationship with Jesus Christ means. The Christ in you. A life that is changed to receive affection and more importantly, and also to give affection. Brothers and sisters, may I say to you this morning, your commission is to give that same love of affection to others that they might see the Christ that is in you. And that is the affection that comes from the cross. And that is the truth that Christ wants all of us to know. Each of us this morning have a commission. We should draw near to God, and He will draw near to us. Seek the comfort from the Holy Spirit and offer comfort to others because of who you are in Christ. You joining me in prayer?